Is the pro-life movement winning the battle against abortion? Find out next on Gospel of Life. Hello, I'm Reverend Frank Pavone, Director of Gospel of Life Ministries. Welcome to our program. Our co-host Janet Morana and I are joined by our good friend Mark Crutcher, President of Life Dynamics, where we film these shows. So, Mark, hello. Good to be with you.
Thank you, sir. How are you?
Very good. You know, Janet, as you and I have talked often, and Mark, you and I have had this discussion many times about how it is clear to us that the pro-life movement is winning, and yet at the same time, so many people who are on our side don't realize it.
Yeah, it is odd that we are having these victories, but I think a lot of times we listen to the media. The media keeps talking about this alleged pro-choice majority, and the pro-lifers keep getting this setback and this one over here, and we know that the media is a pack of liars, but we believe what they tell us.
Right.
But the fact is, we are winning. The polls are consistently showing more pro-life sentiment than ever before. More people are calling themselves pro-life than have ever called themselves pro-life in history. And this is starting to be reflected in politics. In the last general election in the United States, the National Abortion Federation, I think, targeted 69 congressional races around the United States. We won the vast majority of those races that they targeted.
Right. And, of course, they're targeting them with far more money than we could ever
absolutely. We couldn't raise
put
the money
in
they
our
had.
Own bank accounts. Right, exactly.
Right. The other thing is, a couple of years ago, I saw a poll that the Republican Party had taken, and they said that when you identify Americans who say that they vote strictly on the abortion issue, they are twice as likely to be pro-life as pro-abortion.
That's right.
So we are having all these victories. The biggest victory we're having, in my view, is among the youth. All these polls are showing that the most pro-abortion segment of our society is the elderly.
Right.
The most pro-life segment of our society is the young.
Right.
Well, that's good for us in the future. And, you know, I saw something from, Margaret Sanger's son runs Planned Parenthood in New York now. And I saw something not long ago from him where he said that he was getting so tired of going on college campuses and finding that there was active pro-life groups, but no pro-abortion groups, or pro-choice groups, as he called them.
Right.
And he said he hadn't been on a college campus in 3 years that there was a pro-choice group there, but every one of them had a pro-life group. And what we're seeing is, I've had people, kids tell me this when I go out and give speeches, that it's getting to be cool to be pro-life. Because, you know, kids are countercultural, and we are the counterculture.
Yes, we are.
And there's also what I call the survivor phenomenon. If you were born after January 22nd, 1973, you're an abortion survivor. We don't think in those terms because we were all born before that point. But to these kids, they understand that at one point, this society said to them, your life is not worth protecting. It never said that to us, but it said that to them. And I've had some of these kids tell me that this even affects some of their pro-choice friends when they bring this up to them. Do you realize you could have been killed?
That's right.
Also, the other thing is we're outproducing them. I don't know if you've looked at the study that Brian Close has done at Human Life International, where he's looked at the average family size among families who call themselves pro-choice versus pro-life.
Mm-hmm.
Our family size averages dramatically higher than theirs.
Yeah.
So we'll win by attrition, you know, at that rate. The other thing is that I think is causing these youth to be more pro-life is, unlike us, we're now getting to the point where there are young adults who are old enough to vote and getting out into the world who can go home and take a VHS tape of themselves as an unborn child and watch it on television. You know, they're old enough now that they had sonograms of themselves when they were children, when they were unborn.
Right.
Or their parents had these, obviously. That dramatically changes things because it's harder to convince them that the unborn child is just a glob of cells if they can see themselves on television.
You know, you both saw the article in Glamour magazine in August of
right.
2005, the mysterious disappearance of young pro-choice women.
Right.
And I mean, when that's in a magazine like that, you know that there's a change happening. And, you know, it's really not mysterious. They've become pro-life. They're with us. They haven't disappeared. They've joined our marches and our pro-life events and the pregnancy centers, and they're with us.
Well, you know, what's interesting about that particular article, I remember, is all these pro-abortion people coming out saying, oh, we're really alarmed that all these young women especially are having this view. Well, I thought the issue was to let women make up their own minds.
Right.
So why should they be alarmed that more and more women are saying I'm pro-life? Yeah. It looks like to me they'd be celebrating that. Of course, we know that their issue never was protecting the rights of these women to make up their own minds.
Exactly.
It was to sell them abortions.
And, you know, along these same lines, all these illustrations you've been giving, that article was not the only one of its kind. A couple of years back, there's a New York Times magazine article, Surprise Mom, I'm Against Abortion. And,
right.
And again, showing now that the pro-choicers are, you know, having their children appear on the opposite end of the fence.
Right.
That's right. I mean, you see it really evident, I think, in the March for Life in Washington in January. There are so many young people, more and more. I mean, there are at least, I would say, three-quarters of the march is all youth. And just a quarter is more of the gray-haired population.
Right.
And I was at that march they had in April of, I think it was 2004, where March for Women's Lives, where NOW and NARAL all marched. Well, I saw more gray hair than I saw young people in that march. So it was kind of like reversed in the numbers of the
and
marches.
And even they're saying that. Yeah. They're out in the public saying that we have a problem among young people. But something else you saw in that march, Janet, the so-called March for Women's Lives, this pro-abortion march, you saw absolute irrefutable proof that they know they're losing because you saw bitterness and anger and vitriol and pornographic behavior by these people. Yep. They were angry and they were nasty. Those are not the behaviors of people who think they're winning. Right. Those are the behaviors of people who know they're losing. Mm-hmm. You know, if we watched a football game on television tonight, and at the end of the game, one team was way ahead and a fight broke out, who started that fight?
That's right.
It was the people who were losing.
Yep.
And when you see all this viciousness coming from these people on the pro-abortion side, that's a reflection of the fact that they know they're losing. They would not; those are not the behaviors of people who are winning.
And part of the same phenomenon is how they abandon reason, they abandon even the willingness to debate people like us.
I mean,
they stopped doing that a long time ago. Why? Because they ran out of arguments.
They can't win.
They can't. And, you know, the same is true if you look at the slavery tragedy that we had in this country. Towards the end of that, the people who were defending slavery started saying more and more, well, you know, this is between us and God. This is each person has to make the decision. And the pro-abortion people, all the arguments they used to make about this will improve society, this will reduce child abuse, all these false promises. Now that we have more abundant evidence than ever before how false those promises were, they don't even argue on those levels anymore. And they say, but this is between a woman and her God.
Right.
And if all you have left is to appeal to God, we appeal to God, but not as a substitute for the other arguments, but to God as the basis for those other arguments. But they don't have any other arguments.
Well, you hear them say women should be allowed to be their own moral agents. That's basically what you're alluding to here. What they're trying to do is take the odor off of abortion. Because what they're suggesting is, if they say women should be able to act as their own moral agents, well, we don't let them do that in any other area of life. We don't let men do that in any other area of life. That's why we have laws. But if you're going to take the reason they make that kind of argument is they want to make it appear that when a woman has an abortion, she's acting on strong moral conviction, and that's not what's happening.
It's not.
That never happens. No woman ever sits down and says, I just think it's the morally right thing to do to have an abortion. It's not really what I want to do, but it's the morally right thing to do. Mm-hmm. No woman ever said that. So they're trying to take the odor off of abortion. And that's one of the problems that these people continue to have is they bet their, and by the way, this is one of the sources of their anger and bitterness. They bet their future many, many years ago on something that they now know they will never get. They thought by legalizing abortion, they would legitimize it in the minds of the American people. That never happened, and now they know it's not ever going to happen. Women still don't want to talk about the fact they had an abortion, if you ask them. No woman ever brags about her abortion.
Right.
And I'll tell you something, on an internal level, and you see this with your organization of women coming forward talking about their abortions, there has never been a woman in the history of this world who climbed off an abortionist table who felt better about herself than when she climbed onto it. That doesn't happen.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I don't care if she remained pro-choice. I don't care if she had 10 more abortions after that. She never climbs off that table feeling better than she did before. Mm-hmm. And the abortion industry bet on something many, many years ago. They bet on two things. They bet that we wouldn't last very long. If you go back and read this stuff, I remember the early days when I was in this movement, back in the early 70s. They bet we wouldn't be along. We wouldn't be around 3 or 4 years from then. Mm. And now that we're here 30-some-odd years later, it's a source of major discouragement for them.
Yeah.
The second thing is that they bet they would mainstream abortion, and they haven't done it, and now they know they're not going to.
That's right.
And this is destroying the morale on the pro-abortion side.
I think many people don't realize, and I'm sure this is one of the elements when you talk about this, as it is with me, they don't realize how out of the mainstream the practice of abortion is, in the sense that you don't find it usually going on in hospitals. All right, you've got it right in these freestanding clinics that are literally physically outside the mainstream
right
of medicine.
And by the way, more than half of those clinics are closed.
They're closing.
They're closing every month. I hear of another clinic, right, Mark?
Well,
that's closed.
Well, we report on them, and we have them on our website. When I started Life Dynamics in '92. Because our thrust was to go after the clinics.
Right.
And so the way we determine how successful we're being is how many of them are there. In 1992, when I started Life Dynamics, Alan Guttmacher Institute said there were about 2,126, I think is what they said, freestanding abortion clinics. Today, there are less than 750. So, you know, that's another example of how we're winning this battle. And by the way, there has been a corresponding reduction in the number of abortions. Even the U.S. government has done studies that show that abortion is not like other consumer products where demand drives supply. In the case of abortion, it's supply drives demand.
Mm-hmm.
The more available abortion is, the more access there is to abortion, the higher the abortion rate is. And that's been proven across the board. And so you're starting to see these abortion mills closing. And by the way, as you know, we do more work with abortion clinics than any other pro-life group because we have infiltrators and so forth. And I can tell you the morale is through the floor.
Mm-hmm.
Turnover rates are through the roof. And there is starting to be greater and greater dissension inside the ranks of the pro-aborts, the people that actually work at the mills, about what they're doing.
Yeah.
You're starting to see them have very grave doubts. And I can tell you something in the abortion industry. You cannot afford doubts. If you're going to sit there and pull those little arms and legs out of women's bodies all day long, you better absolutely 100% know that what you're doing is right. And they're starting not to believe that.
Mm-hmm.
That's also evidenced by the fact that we know more and more. Also, abortion doctors are walking away from their practices. They stopped doing it. They're converted to be pro-life.
And even those who still do it, they're not proud of it.
No.
No, they won't brag about it. And by the way, the number one reason that abortion clinics close in this country is lack of staff. When I first got in the pro-life battle, you might see an abortion mill have five doctors on staff and they only need three. So they have reserve doctors when somebody goes on vacation or something like that. Today, the vast majority of abortion clinics in this country have one doctor and he's hanging on by a thread and he's old. And if he goes on vacation, the place closes down.
I've been in my travels so many places where they say, oh, yeah, here's where they do the abortions, and the abortionist flies in, you know, every Thursday morning, and he's got to fly out Thursday night and go do them
circuit
in another
riders.
City, circuit riders. And I remember I've stood out with you in front of places where they say, oh, there's the doctor, there's the doctor. And literally, you see this 75-year-old man, his hand shaking. I remember that time
right.
We saw the one with the hand shaking. They had to physically help him get in the door, so that he can then go on to put, you know, sharp instruments inside a woman's uterus.
I was just in Indiana last week, and what happened was I was there on a Friday. They were supposed to also do abortions on Tuesday. They had to cancel because the circuit abortionist that normally comes in was sick and couldn't arrive.
Well,
so
you know,
it's true.
You're talking about the older abortionists. We had a situation down in Houston a few years ago, and we've seen this in several places around the country, but I'll just use this one as one example. An abortionist named John B. Coleman was dying of emphysema. He was so, and he was elderly, he was so in such bad physical shape, he was literally hooked up to a respirator while he was doing abortions. They had people standing on his arms holding him up. The reason that we know this was, it came out in a subsequent court trial, he killed a 15-year-old girl named Jamie Garcia 3 days before he died of emphysema.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The reason that they could not take him off the line, so to speak, was he's all they had. It was either use him or nobody.
Or nobody, yeah. Well, you know, clear signs of dramatic progress, as we know still. I mean, some people in the pro-life movement will say, oh, well, no, we're not winning because, you know, all the babies that that could be aborted in 1973 could still be aborted now. We haven't really restored legal protection to any of them. How do you respond to those kind of concerns?
Well, the thing that I tell people is this, and I don't know if I've ever talked to either one of you about this or not, but I'll just ask you. Do you remember the day that the Berlin Wall fell? If I had come to you 30 days before that and said, when do you think the Berlin Wall will fall? You'd probably say, we won't live to see that in our lifetime.
Right.
It's there. The Soviet Union is strong. They're going to be around forever. Communism can't be stopped in the Soviet Union. The Berlin Wall is going to stay, right? Nobody on this earth thought 30 days before the Berlin Wall fell that it would fall. I believe, Father Frank, that that's how abortion is going to end.
Yeah.
I don't know the mechanism. I don't know when it's going to happen. All I know is it's going to happen, and I'll tell you how I know that. 2,000 years ago, we were promised that it would happen. We were told the gates of hell would not prevail against us.
That's right.
If an abortion mill is not the gates of hell, then we've been lied to. There is no gate of hell if an abortion clinic is not it.
And as you know, in a battle, the gate doesn't attack the enemy. The enemy storms the gates.
That's what we're called to do.
And that's why the message that we're winning is not a message to people to say, hey, listen, if you're pro-life, sit back, relax, take it easy.
No.
It's just the opposite, isn't it?
Think about a boxer. Two guys are sparring around. If one guy gets in a good hit and the other guy's knees buckle, what does the guy who made the hit do?
Go in.
He moves in for the kill.
Right.
He doesn't step back and say, oh, well, I'm fixing to win this deal.
Right. Well, it's the same thing in the football game. You know,
right.
When you finally get in the other guy's end zone or down that territory there, you don't sit back and say, oh, well,
we
you know.
We got it won now.
Or you say, like, oh, we can kick a field goal. No, you go for the touchdown.
Right.
You know, and just in our final minute here, why do you think it is that so many who are on the winning side don't realize we're winning?
Because, again, they listen to the secular media.
That's right.
Our people are the world's worst about saying the secular media is a pack of liars, but I believe everything they say. That's why we don't know it. And I've had people call me and say, I hear you give this speech about how we're winning. I just get this feeling like this is a David and Goliath situation. Mm-hmm. I'll say, yes, that's right. Remember, David won, right?
That's right.
That's the way we have to look at it.
Yeah. And this message is especially so important for those that all the three of us deal with so often who have been in this from the beginning.
That's right.
People who were doing pro-life work even before Roe v. Wade. We meet them on the road. And, you know, for them it's like, oh, my goodness, what's it like to be doing this 40 years? Well, now's the time to be encouraged because these signs are, we're not making this stuff up. This stuff is happening, and we could go on for hours more,
exactly.
Giving more and more examples of the fact that we are winning.
Right. Don't slow down. Speed up the action.
Mm-hmm. Right. We've buckled their knees. Now's the time to go for the knockout.
Exactly. Well, we're going to come back in a few minutes and talk about a real, real powerful action piece that we have for people to do. So don't go anywhere, brothers and sisters. Stay with us for these breaks. And in our action segment, we're going to give you some practical tools that are not only effective to use but fun in bringing people around to a pro-life point of view. So stay with us, and God bless you.
When I found out I was pregnant, I thought I would lose my job.
My boyfriend told me to choose between him and the baby.
I was already struggling to care for one child, so I had an abortion.
I had trouble conceiving again.
I tried to commit suicide.
I started to have nightmares.
You see, abortion didn't solve our problems.
It just created different ones.
That's why we are silent no more.
We found help in Haley, and you can too. Call or go online today.
Do you realize that every 23 seconds a baby is killed by legal abortion in this country? But you know, you can do something to save those lives. At Gospel Life Ministries, we have a bulletin insert called You Can Save Someone's Life Today, and we make this available absolutely free for your church. And it doesn't matter how many bulletins you print. Suppose you print 1,000, 2,000, we'll send it to you free. And in this insert, You Can Save Someone's Life Today are the resources that you need to reach out and help a girl. Suppose you hear of a girl who's pregnant and in need. We have the hotline numbers where that girl can receive help right in her own community. And we're talking about medical expenses paid, a place to live if necessary, job opportunities. She doesn't have to feel that her only way is to go to an abortion mill. And also, if you know someone who is hurting from an abortion, we want to bring them back to the healing and mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in this bulletin insert are the ministries there, toll-free numbers that are waiting in open arms to receive her back the help and healing. And in addition, you can inform your church community about facts about abortion. And then finally, You can get involved. You can help us and join hands in saving those lives, because in this bulletin insert are action items so that everybody can help save a life today. Thank you. Call us at our toll-free number.
Prayer is essential to everything we do as Christians. The Lord Jesus said, "Without me, you can do nothing." That's why we at Gospel of Life have launched a national prayer campaign to end abortion. We've composed a simple prayer that you can say each and every day, and that prayer is available at prayercampaign.org on the internet. You can say this prayer with your family. You can bring it to your pastor. Some pastors, in fact, have placed this prayer in the church bulletin or on the inside of their parish hymnals. In whatever way you can promote this prayer, you'll be adding more and more believers to this great campaign to ask the Lord to bring an end to abortion in America and to commit ourselves to do what He wants us to do to achieve that goal. Join the National Prayer Campaign to End Abortion at prayercampaign.org. Thank you.
I'm Dr. Paul Shank. Gospel of Life Ministries, Priests for Life, and the National Pro-Life Action Center are ready, willing, and able to come to your church, conference, convention, prayer group, Sunday school, or pro-life event. Dynamic, seasoned, and experienced speakers, teachers, and presenters are available. Renowned leaders such as Father Frank Pavone, National Director of Priests for Life and President of the National Pro-Life Religious Council, Dr. Alveda King, the niece of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., and Janet Morana, Associate Director of Priests for Life and co-founder of the Silent No More Awareness Campaign, together with pastoral associates Dr. Teresa Burke, the founder of Rachel's Vineyard, and her husband Kevin Burke, counselor and social worker, Jim Pinto, pro-life pioneer, and our clergy, Reverend Dennis Wild, Reverend Peter West, and Reverend Walter Quinn, are prepared to preach and teach in your church about how to end the tragedy of abortion, minister to those suffering from abortion, help train and organize your pro-life group, lead retreats, and much, much more. To schedule a speaker in your area, call the Speakers Bureau at 888-735-3448, extension 258, or email us at speakers@gospeloflife.com. The waiting is over. The time for action is now. Schedule an inspiring speaker for your area.
Welcome to our action segment. Mark, tell us about the pro-life action cards.
You know, Father Frank, if you were to interview every business person in the United States, not every one of them has a TV ad or a radio ad or a newspaper ad. Every one of them has business cards. We have always known in the business community that the most effective, cheapest way of advertising is through business cards. So I came up with the idea a few years ago to take the pro-life signs and slogans that we can't get on secular television,
right,
that we can't buy advertising space to put out there, or we can't buy billboards to put them on, and put them on business cards. That people, just anybody who's pro-life, the kids, we have kids doing these things. We've put out about 500,000 of these so far, and it's been the most effective way we have seen yet to deliver the pro-life message. You can put them anywhere. People leave them with tips at restaurants. We have people put them in clothes at clothing stores and books at bookstores. Mm-hmm. Just spread them around malls, put them up on bulletin boards in public buildings where they have places where you put business cards and so forth. There's a billion places you can use these things. And we've got 46 different styles with 46 different sayings, and we're about to introduce a new one that we'll talk about here in a moment. But we have found this is an extremely effective way to deliver the pro-life message.
It's so easy. I mean, you keep them in your wallet, keep them in the glove compartment,
right,
of the car, put them in your
purse,
pocket, and it's fun, isn't it?
Right.
Thing.
Right.
And I'm sure people come up with creative ways, and they'll write into you.
Oh,
say,
yeah.
Well, you
right.
Think about this.
Right.
Let's read some of these particular slogans. If it's not a baby, you're not pregnant. And then it says, stop abortion now. Life begins at conception and ends at Planned Parenthood.
Right. That's our most popular card, by the way.
Is
ready, yeah.
This one just simply says choice kills.
Right.
And the other one says abortion doesn't keep you from being a mom. It just means you're the mother of a dead baby instead of a live one.
Right. This one here, abortion means no judge, no jury, no trial, no appeal, and no stay of execution. This one is, well, duh. It's pretty easy to be pro-choice as long as you're not the one being chosen. Abortion, it's a wrong, not a right. And we got 46 different ones.
Yeah, it's very powerful. And you said you're coming out with a new one now.
Yeah, we're introducing a new one. This is going to be our first one that's going to be double-sided. And this is going to really push the envelope a lot. We're having a full-color graphic image of an aborted baby on one side of the card and then a pro-life message on the other side. And we fully anticipate that this is probably going to be far and away our best-selling card. Matter of fact, my view is we'll probably sell more of these cards than all of the other ones combined.
Yeah.
And by the way, when I say sell, we make these available very cheaply, $2.50 a hundred. And it is far and away the cheapest and most non-threatening, non-violent, non-confrontational. You can leave these cards and walk away. And you know they're going to be found. We know they're found because we get the calls from parole boards who don't like them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very cheap way to demonstrate your pro-life activity.
Right. And now, Mark, if people would like to get these cards at Gospel of Life, what they can do is contact us.
Right.
We'll send them a free sample along with kind of like a menu of all these 46
right.
phrases that are available. And they can choose which phrases they like best to distribute. So
right.
we really want to encourage everybody to contact us and at least send for the free sample and think about ways you can get these out. I mean, I know people that even leave them in, like, ladies' rooms, you know,
right.
on the vanity. While people wash their hands, you put them up on the counter. I've seen people when they go in the library, public library, just go up and down different aisles, and especially if you go where the pro-abortion section is, because most of the books in there are on the other side of the fence from us. They're pro-abortion.
Right. And the women's studies section.
Yeah,
right.
exactly. And put these cards in there.
And students can do so much with these on campuses and high schools.
Right.
Oh, my goodness, you can have them floating around everywhere.
Listen, we have a list of things that people can do with them here. We've come up with 25 or 30. But I am amazed at the ingenuity of people that call in and tell me the ways that they're using them.
Exactly.
It's amazing.
Exactly.
Well, the graphic one, I agree, that's really going to make an impact because, as we were saying earlier, there is nothing that we do that elicits more response than show the graphic images. They're on the website, and people write in every day saying, hey, I was pro-choice until I saw those pictures. Or they'll say, I've always been against abortion, but I really never did anything about it. But now that I've seen these pictures, I'm never going to be silent again. And so thanks, Mark, for making this very, very easy and powerful tool for our viewers to use.
Thank you.
And thank you, Janet. Brothers and sisters, the pro-life action cards, you're not going to want to miss them. Now stay each week with us on Gospel of Life. Tell your friends about the program. And meanwhile, let's pray for each other.
I'm Dr. Paul Shank, and I hope you've been encouraged and challenged today. If you and others you know, perhaps a prayer group, Bible study, Sunday school, or pro-life group, want to know more about Gospel of Life and how people of faith united together can build the culture of life, call us at 888-735-3448. Visit us on the web at www.gospeloflife.com or email us at info@gospeloflife.com. You can write to us at Gospel of Life, P.O. Box 60038, Staten Island, New York, 10306.